Last time on Acrylics. Aurora turns back towards the cliff and jumps. She falls hundreds of feet, landing into a raging riverbank. K-Rod dives off the cliff after her. He comes up for air, emerging in his human form. The splashing water, as well as the natural debris, hinders K-Rod's keen sense of smell, vision, and hearing. He cannot spot Aurora anywhere. Acrylics, Episode 5. We fade in 3 years later, present day. We are in the city of San Francisco. The setting, Aurora's apartment, more specifically, her bedroom. Even though my memories came back, my urge to kill didn't. I realized it that day in the woods. As soon as my memories flooded back into my head, I could tell they'd done something to me. Dr. Draco somehow made me actually care about the lives I had taken. The thought of all the murders I've committed all of a sudden disgusted me, even frightened me. And in that moment on that cliff 3 years ago, I realized jumping was my only way out. My only way away from K-Rod. I don't know if I made the right decision in leaving, but hopefully I never find out. It is morning, and Aurora is lying in bed. Her alarm clock sounds for the second time. She opens her eyes and pulls back the sheets, goes into the bathroom to get ready for work. She showers, brushes her teeth, and combs her hair. Aurora walks into the kitchen and turns on the television that rests on the kitchen's countertop. She always keeps the channel on the news. She leans against the refrigerator and watches the news report.
We're coming to you from Kansas City, where family and friends have gathered to mourn the lost 7 college students who were brutally murdered 2 months ago after leaving a party. Police now confirm that the killings are similar to those that have been appearing across the United States. The culprit seems to be hitting major cities in states such as New York, Illinois, South Dakota, Kansas, and Texas, Montana, and Utah. Our hearts go out to...
Aurora turns off her television and leaves for work. Aurora is standing at the cashier register ringing up some guy's groceries and beer. That's $67.98.
The beer. It's for a party I'm having later tonight.
The guy pulls out his wallet from his back pocket.
It's supposed to be a big one. Mostly single people are coming.
Aurora doesn't respond. He hands her the money.
A girl as pretty as you are may already have a special guy. But if you don't, how about...
No thanks.
Are you sure? You never know who you might meet. You could meet the man you're destined to be with.
Aurora gives the guy a really aggressive look. The guy grabs his bags and leaves. Next in line is a mother of 3 bratty boys. The children are all very disruptive and loud, as well as the mother. She screams at them to stop their horse playing, but they do not listen.
I'm sorry. They have their father's energy.
As Aurora is scanning the woman's groceries, already annoyed by the sound the scanner makes every time she scans an item, the woman pulls out a number of coupons. On top of that, the woman is real talkative, which keeps her from paying attention to her children.
It's Maya. You know, I have a niece named Maya. She's a real sweetie. Speaking of sweeties, my husband's birthday is coming up, and I just don't know what to get him. He's like, whatever is fine, and that drives me crazy.
I will.
You know what I mean?
What's taking you so long?
But what can I... What did you boys do?
It wasn't me. Ronnie pushed Will into the basket, and now his nose is bleeding.
Oh my God, what have I told you all about playing rough? I can't take you boys anywhere.
Even though Aurora has lost her desire to harm people, her personality remains intact. Aurora gets extremely aggravated by the chatty mother.
Would you and your 3 dwarves shut the hell up?
What is wrong with you? I demand to speak to your supervisor. Miss, can you hand me some wipes, if that's not too much to ask?
Aurora's hearing and smelling heightens as she watches blood drip from the boy's face.
Aurora pulls back and turns around as her eyes change.
Are you just going to stand there and let my kid bleed all over the floor? Miss?
Aurora reaches underneath her register and grabs a roll of napkins, handing it to the woman. Aurora avoids looking at the blood. Aurora walks to the back of the store to the employee locker room. She opens her locker and grabs the bottle of water she stores within it. She downs the entire bottle within a matter of seconds. She slams the locker only to see a new guy standing behind it in his locker.
You all right?
Fine.
And the day's just beginning. My name's Vince. It's my first day. I was looking at...
Aurora interrupts him in the middle of his sentence. Advice? Don't bother. Vince gives Aurora a confused expression.
Okay, I don't mean any harm, I just...
He turns around to close his locker, then turns back to Aurora, but finds that she is now gone. It is now night, and we're back at Aurora's apartment. Aurora is sitting at the dining room table, watching the news in her kitchen.
We have an updated reporting that the murder of the Miller family that took place 3 weeks ago in Salt Lake City is linked to college student killings back in Kansas City.
Aurora stands to go to the refrigerator. She takes the marker and crosses out Salt Lake City on the map she has posted. Aurora looks back at the television.
The police have asked us to help by asking viewers to set earlier curfews, travel nowhere alone at night, as well as make sure all windows and doors of your home are locked before you retire. We here want to give our deepest.
Aurora turns off the television and goes to bed. The next morning, Aurora follows the same routine as the day before. She lies in bed until the alarm sounds, goes to the bathroom, and gets ready for work. She showers, brushes her teeth, and combs her hair. Goes to the kitchen and watches the news, then heads off to work. Aurora is in aisle 7, scanning prices on items after the boss took her off the register based on the incident that happened the day before. Vince, the new guy, spots Aurora at the opposite end of the aisle as Gabe, another employee, shows him how to restock the shelves.
Just make sure you stack them neatly. The boss checks behind us to see if we did it correctly. Hey, you got that?
Yeah, I got it.
After you're done with this, it's the freezer section next.
Gabe, who is she?
Who?
That girl.
Who, her? Don't bother.
That's what she said to me yesterday. What's that supposed to mean?
It means don't waste your time with her. You should get back to work.
Serious? What, is she crazy or something?
For all I know.
What's her name?
Maya. She started working here about 5 months ago.
What type of girl is she?
What do you mean?
I mean, is she the go-out-to-have-fun type or the stay-home-and-watch-movies type?
How am I supposed to know?
What happened to the guy yesterday that bragged about how he has been here for 6 years and knows everyone and everything that goes on here?
Well, he knows everything about everyone but her. In fact, the only thing about her you need to know is that you should make sure you avoid eye contact.
Why?
They say the eyes tell you everything about a person, and it must be true because she scares the hell out of me. Meet me when you're done here.
Gabe leaves Vince to his work. After a few minutes of secretly watching Aurora, Vince ignores Gabe's advice to approach Aurora. He fixes his hair, straightens his clothes, then heads down the aisle.
Shelf duty. I heard what happened. Apparently you punched some kid in the face and made him bleed all over the floor. I know it's not true, but isn't it crazy how rumors spread and is always grossly exaggerated in the process?
Once again, Aurora gives him the cold shoulder and walks away as he further irritates her. He was a bit discouraged by her failure to socialize back, but wasn't going to take her rude ways. He walked behind her.
I'm sorry, but did I do or say something to offend you? Because if I did, I didn't mean to.
I don't do small talk. The sooner you learn that, the better.
Okay.
Vince continues to follow Aurora through the supermarket.
What do you do then?
Aurora stops, turns around to look at him face to face. You are a mutt.
A mutt? Last I checked, I walked on two, so no.
Then you shouldn't yap like one.
Wow, okay. But the thing is, the only female dog I see around here is you.
Aurora is a bit surprised at Vince's response. She leaves him by turning the corner of the aisle. Right away, Vince regrets his words. Then he turns the corner of the aisle in order to apologize to her, but he finds she is gone. It is now the next day, Aurora's off day. As she has done on many weekends, Aurora sits at the park. This particular park, unlike playgrounds, isn't very busy. No children or loud noises, just a few joggers and dog walkers. She uses this time at the park, as always, to escape from her dark life. The sounds and smells of fresh air give Aurora a sense of peace. However, today, her peace is eventually interrupted as she senses Vince approaching. Why are you here?
They call them public parks for a reason.
Did you follow me?
Get over yourself. I used to work these parks back when I was a kid. I just thought it would be nice to revisit my old hangout. And you? Why are you here?
Aurora doesn't answer him.
So what? You're the only one allowed to ask questions? You see, the only reason I walked over here is because I wanted to say sorry for what I said to you yesterday. But now I think what I said was right.
Don't apologize. It shows weakness.
Weakness? Okay, that's it. That's what, the third time you insulted me? You know what? Have a nice day.
Vince stands up and prepares to walk away. Yesterday, you showed certainty behind your words. A man without certainty is insecure. And you're not.
So what I thought was an insult was actually a compliment? You know, an easier way of saying that would have been, nice job standing up for yourself.
Vince sits back down while Aurora's body language shows she is being standoffish.
You still didn't say the reason you're here. Come on. You've basically already told me I'm a man to be admired. Answer my question. It's a lot less painful than you're thinking.
For the fresh air.
I mean the reason you came to San Francisco.
To get distance.
Distance from what?
That's none of your business.
I understand. Not my business. Not to push boundaries, being that you seem less annoyed by my presence, but I would like to point out that you're currently participating in what people call small talk. Escape while you have the chance, because it's only going to get better from here.
Vince tries to get Aurora to smile, but she doesn't give him the satisfaction. But she is surprisingly amused by him, and he can see it in her eyes.
It's okay to smile.
Vince describes Aurora as mysterious. You see me as mysterious? Why?
I'm not sure. I guess it's because I haven't seen you talk to a single soul since I started working at the market. You're sitting in a nearly deserted park. And how about the fact that I walked up to you from behind and before I could speak, you knew who I was? Now I can think of an explanation for the first two, but how about the last one?
That's because I have super hearing.
Super hearing? How super?
Aurora rises from her seat. Just tell Gabe, I've been working at the store for 6 months, not five. Aurora begins to walk away in the same direction that Vince originally approached her from. He sits there for a second to reflect on what she might have overheard between him and Gabe. He stands to follow her, but when he looks up, she is nowhere to be seen. He continues his walk in the park, picking up right where he left off before he spotted Aurora.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Acrylics.